because it's almost 2:15, and that means we're going to head on out to New Salem, North Dakota. Visit with our main man, our pal, Spencer Worth, the meat dude. If you have a question, again, you can send those into 35270. Spencer, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tyler?
Doing well. We're getting closer to the end of a week, and you know what? It's been one of those weeks. We had another winter weather event here in the Southern Valley. I'm tired of it, as pretty much everybody else. I had snowblower issues. I can't seem to get things moved where we wanted to. So that's the kind of mood I am in on a Thursday.
Well, like you said, it's almost the weekend, yeah. So I hope you can make it till, you know,
oh, we'll
a day and
there.
A half.
Yeah, more. We're going to get there all together right. In style, all right? There was a question that was sent in for you at like 11:30, so we'll dive right into what these individuals, our listeners, have in store for you. And I want to thank all Sauger Meats. You can find them on Main Drag in Ottabin, Minnesota for this. Tyler, question for the meat dude. What method do you prefer for grilling the best steak? Charcoal or gas? Final question. Can pellet grills even be considered?
In my book, pellet grills are not in the conversation, no. So then it really becomes between charcoal and gas. And I've had great steaks cooked by both. On a personal level, and I always say this, how do I choose between charcoal and gas? And it's really just how much time I have on my hands and how much time I'm going to put into cooking this steak. You know, gas does a good job of even heat distribution. Of course, gas grills, they have hot spots and cold spots across that grate, but you can figure those out pretty quickly. A charcoal grill, depending on what charcoal grill you're using, can sometimes either get out of control or dwindle, and then you're really working with hot spots and cold spots all over the kettle or whatever type of charcoal griller you are using. But if I have enough time, I'm using the Big Green Egg, I'm using lump charcoal, you know, getting a nice extra little flavor boost from the smoke from the lump charcoal. But yeah, I think gas and charcoal, I don't want to say they're interchangeable because the end product is definitely different, but they both do a great job of cooking a steak.
Time is of the essence is what he's saying. If that's the case, go with the old propane. If not, if you got time to lounge around, have a nice PBR, enjoy the day, well, guess what? Charcoal is the way it is. I do not have a charcoal. I know that some of the family does. I haven't gone through the old garage or the shed to see what kind of charcoals are using. Do you have a preference on those? I mean, or is it just, hey, whatever I can get my hands on at Senex?
Yeah, lump charcoal for sure, not the briquette. And there's so many different brands out there, and they're all, you know, it's just like anything else. There's super expensive brands, there's cheap brands, and you get what you pay for. I don't have a specific brand that I go to all the time. I use Big Green Egg brand quite a bit. Lately, I've been using, I don't even know what the heck it's called, like a cowboy something. I'm sure one of the listeners knows what brand I'm talking about. But there's a lot of different brands out there. You just got to find what you like and that works with your cooking setup.
35270, that is the Adventure RV Text Club. But you send a question to the meat dude, and I'll read them to him. Here's one for you, Spence. Question for the meat dude. I came across a panda. Do you know what temp on a grill for medium? Thanks.
Came across a what?
Said came across a panda. Just, I don't know. It was an attempt at a joke from a listener. You have a question back there?
Well, no, I was going to say, but people do hunt and process bear.
Yeah.
Black bear, brown bear. Have you ever had any experience with that sort of game? Carnivore meat?
Yeah. I have processed a black bear in my days of being a butcher. Thing with bears is because they dig in garbage, because they root around, they can pick up parasites. So whenever you're cooking bear, you have to fully cook that in order to get rid of parasites in the meat, or else you'll potentially get trichina, which is a parasite that, you know, messes with your gut. But you know, anything that eats whatever it can get its hands on, like a bear out in the wild, you got to be a little bit more cautious than venison per se.
What, you know, we talk about gamey flavors. For example, you despise duck.
No, I
So you say duck is awful. I can't imagine you guys shooting and eating a duck.
No, that's goose. That's goose. Oh, that's goose. That's
sorry. I thought you had something against duck hunters. I forgot. Goose. So all you goose hunters out there, don't even bother stopping in New Salem. What's a bear? I mean, is it noticeable aside from eating garbage? I mean, because we talk about...
Yeah, bear...
Go ahead.
Bear meat is very, very comparable to pork, actually. It's a lot darker and a little more richer flavored than pork, but because they're, you know, a pig will eat essentially anything you put in front of it as well. But luckily, because of practices in the commercial world, we don't let them just eat whatever, right? We control their diet. So the fat texture consistency is very similar to a pig. It's good. It's good product to work with. It's just you got a wild bear. You got to be a little cautious because of the potential for it to have some parasites.
I would have not expected you to say pork. The similarities. Yeah. I was kind of taken aback in the old chair here. A lot of questions coming in for you, Spence. I'm going to get to those. 35270. Why a lump or briquettes?
I think the flavor. So lump charcoal is essentially just burnt down wood, so it's just straight charcoal, where the briquettes, they usually have some binding agent in there that can sometimes put off a little bit of an off flavor. I think lump charcoal has a lot more natural smoke flavor than briquettes. Briquettes are great as a heat source, but if I'm looking for added flavor, which is the only reason you're going to be using charcoal in my book, that's why I go with lump charcoal.
Okay. Tyler, question for the meat dude. Does he have any comments on cooking various meats with beer or wine in lieu of water? Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I do a, I'm drawing a blank, asabuco, which is a Spanish term for shank slices, but I do that with red wine. I use red wine a lot in the kitchen, whether it's actual cooking wine or a bottle of wine that I have in the fridge that I would rather cook with than drink. Use it a lot. That's great. Adds great flavor to essentially any dish that you're cooking with. I know a lot of like noodle dishes use white wine. I've never ventured into that, but beer on the other hand, don't utilize that much in cooking. I'd rather just drink it. I definitely use wine in cooking quite a bit.
Well, I have dabbled a little bit in the beer cooking. In fact, when we first started working together, Eric Johnson and I had a beer cook-off contest at Chubb's Pub outside for tailgating. It didn't matter what, you just had to have one of your ingredients be beer. And I enjoy cooking with a darker beer, depending on, especially, you know, you can throw like a Shinerbach, for example. I mean, that's more of a medium. But every now and then, it'll add a little bit to it. And you're saying, nope, I'm rather just swallowing that the way God intended, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, like, I always think of there's beer brats, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't dump beer into the sausage, right? They're finding the extraction of flavor, which is most of the time hops or something along those lines that they can add to control that flavor, because dumping beer into sausage, if you're trying to get consistency, it depends on how long you cook it and where it sits on the end of flavor results. So a beer brat most of the time is used. They don't just dump beer into the brat. It's some form of dry controlled flavor added.
So you mean to tell me that this whole time beer cheese soup has not been cooked with Budweiser?
Well, beer cheese soup's different. We're talking soups versus sausage.
Okay.
That might be different.
That might be. Somebody out there knows. 35270. What beer are you putting in your beer cheese? Tyler, what is the meat dude's opinion of the Ninja Woodfire Grill? Grill, air fryer, and pellet smoker all in one. It sounds like somebody's a spokesperson or a salesperson for the Ninja Woodfire Grill. I think I saw the infomercial last night on this very product.
I haven't seen the infomercial, so I'm a little out of the loop, but I tell you what, if you can get one cooking tool that has an air fryer, a grill, and a griddle, there's all three in there.
A grill, air fryer, and a pellet smoker.
Oh, and a smoker. That's pretty nifty. Yeah.
As seen on
TV.
I'm
not going to say pro or con. Yeah. Go for it and let me know how it works
for
out.
For three easy payments of $99.99, perhaps. I don't know. I don't remember what the price tag was. Question for the meat dude. On Hell's Kitchen, they're always cooking a beef Wellington. What type of meat is that?
Beef Wellington is a tenderloin roast that's wrapped in a mushroom paste type solution, I guess, and then breaded and cooked to like rare, and it looks amazing anytime I see Gordon Ramsay make it, that's for sure.
If you had to cook in front of Gordon Ramsay, what meat dish would you use that you wouldn't get yelled at and cussed at?
Oh, I'm sure I would get yelled at and cussed at no matter what I would do, but I would keep it as simple as possible around a guy like that who has crazy knowledge on cooking, that's for sure.
Just salt, pepper, garlic on everything you can find. See, here you go, Gordon.
That's it. Yeah.
35270. That is how you, in fact, text. But if you want to call, Spencer's not afraid to take your questions live. In fact, I'm going to get to the phone lines and talk to Carol. Carol, you're on with Spencer Worth the Meat Dude. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I haven't cooked my corned beef yet. What's the best way? Just a processed bag corned beef.
Corned beef, you know, because it's, because it's brined and there's salts and waters in it, you can essentially just warm it in the oven, you know, just until it gets to 160 internal temp. So put it in the oven at, you know, 400 and however many hours, depending on the size of that chunk of brisket that you have, and just, you're essentially just reheating it. Unless it's a fresh one, then make sure you hit it to 160. So if that's what you have.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Carol.
Thanks much, bye.
Yeah, thank you for calling on in. See, it's that simple. 237-5948. Boil those brats in beer, then grill them, says Corey, who texted into 35270. Is this a real thing, or am I getting got again? I'm looking at you, Eric. What's Steak Diane? What is this? Is this another lame attempted joke you don't know either?
No,
Spencer,
do you
know what's Steak Diane, or is this like an autocorrect? Spencer, did I cut you off? Did I hang up on you?
No, Spencer.
Did he hang up on us?
He may have muted himself.
He's like, all right, I've had enough of you guys today. Spence.
It's still a connection.
Spence, we love you. If you can still hear us, I'm going to hang up on you, and we'll pick up again next week. You can call back at 237-5948. What an unusual day. The computer crashed the moment before I started the show. Talking about pandas. Steak Diane. Can it get any weirder than this?
Yeah, Don't say things like
We've
that.
We've got 2.5 hours left together. How weird can we get on this Thursday afternoon? Don't test
me.
Oh,
it is, in fact, a real recipe. Steak Diane. Diane is a dish of pan-fried beef steak with a sauce made from seasoned pan juices. It was originally cooked tableside and sometimes flambéed. It was invented in London in the 30s. From the 1940s through 60s, it was a standard dish in continental cuisine.
I mean, that was a valiant effort. Yeah. What kind of juices?
Flambéed. It's sometimes pan juices, so like an au jus.
Okay. Au jus would have been.
It says pan juices.
Like, okay, yeah, just keep all the grizzle and fat from everything else you cooked up and just throw the steak in, is how
I. And you deglaze that son of a gun.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I will clean up the rest of these messages. We'll make sure that Spencer knows that you all appreciate him taking time and thanking Alsager Meats for giving us an opportunity every Thursday at this time to talk about meats. KF Joe News, we'll try to get this train back on the tracks in the next half hour of After News Live. It's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal.